Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of Equestrian Vibes Podcast. I am so excited that you guys are tuning in and listening today. This episode is with a very special friend. She is not specifically from TikTok, but she is in the social media world, YouTube, podcast, and Instagram. You might know her as Jack Equitheory, if you've heard of her, and if you've been around Instagram for a while. Her name is Jill Trace, and she has just lots of stories and experiences to share. This podcast is just really fun because it's basically just about horse talk. We're talking everything about the horse world and the equestrian community from a social media standpoint to just even around the barn and experiences. Jill has been an equestrian for over a decade, and she has a lot of insight and educational facts to say and stories to share. So I am so excited about this episode. I think this is my sixth time recording this intro, so I'm not gonna mess this one up anymore. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the podcast. Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Hi, Jill. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm doing well. How are you?
No worries at all. I am good. Just chilling, enjoying Arkansas sunshine, finally.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I heard you guys had the craziest storm, it seemed like.
Yes. And now I have my window open and I am in shorts and a t-shirt enjoying the sun because I have never been so appreciative of it in my life.
Honestly, that sounds really nice. I felt so bad, seeing everyone freeze around me. And Florida was just, kind of chilling, and we were having beach days. I mean, there were some mornings when I thought I was going to die, and it was, the high of 39, but not like y'all.
No. Not like y'all. No. It was definitely much colder than 39 here. It was, 9 or 3. Oh, geez.
That sounds terrible.
It was bad, but anyway.
Well, hi, Jill. I'm so happy you're on the podcast. I know this has been kind of in the works for a little bit, and you guys got hit by the storm. We had to reschedule and everything, but I'm so happy you're on now. So for the people who really don't know who you are, do you kind of want to tell them who you are? Because you've been on the internet for quite some time.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Jill Treese. I have been riding and eventing since I was 8 years old or so. And so I've been in it for a while. I'm 22, living in Arkansas, on a horse farm. And I do a lot of retraining OTTBs when they come off the track. And I do a lot of clicker training and positive reinforcement work with a lot of baby ponies and do online consults and that sort of thing. But it all got started with the old YouTube and Instagram, just making really goofy videos about horses and just living the life, you know.
It honestly sounds like fun. I mean, I came across your account the summer of 2019, and I started following YouTube from there, and then I was like, this girl's so cool. And then I actually started a podcast because of you, so it's just kind of funny. Sweet. How I know everything kind of goes around in a circle, and now you're on my podcast, so I think I'm
yes,
so honored that you're here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Podcasting is a wonderful place. I love it.
And it's kind of a thing for everyone too, which I love. Anyone mm-hmm. can start a podcast about anything, and you're probably going to get listeners because someone likes it too.
Yeah, exactly. I have my very own Nerd Central Behaviorist podcast all about ponies, and it's a wonderful time, and everybody that listens to it is really into it, I think, anyway. At least they're vocal about it, but it's just crazy that there are so many people that are as interested in what I'm in as I am.
It kind of is really crazy because growing up in the horse community, you kind of only knew what was around you. Mm-hmm. And then as technology advanced and we got these weird platforms where we could share and connect with people from all around the world, you realize this is a huge community, and there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I first started out, it was just, my barn and my trainer, and, there wasn't really a whole lot of internet thing going on. And then I think around when it was 2014 is when I started Instagram or so. It might be 2012. Yeah. So sorry, dates are not my strong suit.
I was gonna say, I was like, oh my gosh, that long ago? Holy
cow. 2012 is when I started like being on Instagram and posting about horses and stuff. And back then it was just kind of like, here's a cool picture of my horse and I love them very much, the end. And then it kind of progressed into a lot of like updates, and this is what I'm doing, and this is what, you know, there's a tutorial or a funny video or something like that. And from that, you get like all these different opinions from everyone all around the world. And then you realize how, like, how big the industry is and how diverse it is in terms of opinions and training methodology and all of that good stuff. And for better or for worse, it is a myriad of opinions. That is the polite way to say it.
No, for sure. I mean, everyone feels like they can do everything correctly. And it can, dude, it can be a lot to take in. I mean, I remember my first video blowing up and I was like, what the heck? Like, I didn't realize like this many people cared about, you know, to share their input on my little horse and like what I'm doing with it.
Right. Well, that is a good way to look at it. Mine was a little more angry when I started getting people like giving their two cents about it. And I mean, I still get a lot of that today, especially doing the clicker training, positive reinforcement style, is just, it's actually like within the last year, I really think picked up a lot of popularity. And now it's kind of a commonplace thing for people to at least be aware of, even if they don't use it.
Yeah.
But when I first started it like 2 years ago, I really hadn't seen it online much. And then like I found Adele Shaw, who's the Willing Equine, and started following her stuff. And then I ended up harassing her into a 3-hour phone call, making her explain everything to me. And then I fell down the rabbit hole and started posting about it. And now it seems like there are just so many people that are into it or know about it or at least have an opinion about it. Whereas before it was just like, no, you don't feed horses treats, the end. So I don't know. The internet is a powerful, powerful thing. So,
well, I was always like, I love giving my horses treats. Like that was something I always did. And I know like people have like mixed opinions about that. Of like, it can teach them to be mouthy and so on. But I'm like, I'm a big treat giver. And if that's like a positive reinforcement of like giving treats to, you know, encouraged to train, I think that's a great way of training.
Yeah, I agree, and so does science. So
yeah,
and it's frustrating for me as like, you know, somebody that does this all the time to hear people be like, it makes your horses, you know, it'll make them bite or aggressive. And it's like, well, if your horse is becoming aggressive or biting you because you're feeding him treats from your hand, then you're doing it incorrectly, because you're like, behavior is driven by what is most motivating, what is most reinforcing. So if, you know, if the horse is continuing to bite, there is a motivating factor and there's reinforcement. And, you know, if it persists, you're not being a very good trainer, because you're not addressing whatever, if it's a pain thing or if it's a training reinforcement history thing. You know, there's just so many things to look at. And I think people in our industry are a little trigger happy with wanting to label the horses having personality flaws and things like that.
I think so. It's a little bit too quick to judge, because you can't take, you know, a picture or like a 30-second video and tell a horse's life story, nor would you can like anyone. And I think that's like, again, like a big factor of like going into social media and then like dealing with mental health and like, how is that affecting? It's just, it all ties around to like, we need to stop. We don't need to be so judgmental so quickly.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's, and the horse world is really, really good about being judgmental. I mean, there's so many different things you can attack. You can attack equitation, management, training methodology, equipment, you know, every insecurity that you have.
Yeah.
It's out there. And yeah.
I feel that. I'm scared to like post some content to myself like online, because like one of my horses deals with really bad allergies here in Florida. The living conditions isn't like up north. Mm-hmm. You guys are so lucky. Like, you guys don't have the terrible mosquitoes, like humidity. Like, it's,
we have
all
the humidity.
For us.
We have the humidity, but not so much the mosquitoes in this part of Arkansas. I have been to different parts that have like, oh my God, awful mosquitoes.
It's terrible.
But we are like, I mean, 60-70% humidity in the summer, so I feel you on that part. It's bad.
Oh yeah, it's just like the mugginess, and like, other people don't live in these conditions, and for them to be like, you're not taking care of your horse, I'm like, do you not know, like, my horse is on medication, we're really working on it with the vet right now. But it's just like, when your horse has allergies and they want to itch their tail, it doesn't mean they're being abused or doing right. something crazy.
People are quick to assume. I will say that, like, I appreciate a shift. Like, obviously, people don't need to attack you or me or whomever, but I appreciate the shift into wanting to call out mistreatment or abuse or mismanagement from, like, the other attitude. I don't even know, like, what an appropriate way to, like, categorize that is, but I don't know. I'll just have to, like, give an example, but, you know, the people that are like, oh, you're going too easy on him. I would have had that horse laid out on the ground already. You know, you need to show him who's boss. Like, you're taking it too easy. I much prefer the, hey, could you take better care of your horse? You know, even if they are still completely ignorant and have no idea what they're talking about, I appreciate that the focus has shifted more to welfare instead of coercion, I guess.
Yes.
Yep.
I know. I agree. No, completely, though, because, like, it's just so weird because, like, growing up at such a young age in the equestrian world, I even feel like, you know, like, the world is moving on and we're changing just as, like, a community and population. Mm-hmm. But, like, also the horse world is changing, too. Like, we have, like, a new generation that's coming up that is, like, the voice for this community now. And it's, mm-hmm. like, so different because being so young, I was, like, I always remembered hearing, like, I always listened to my trainer, you know, I didn't really put, like, a 2 cents in to my opinion of, like, what my horse was going to do, what I, like, took care of them. Like, there wasn't even that acknowledgement of, like, this is what my horse eats. Cause, like, I boarded at a facility mm-hmm. and, like, I was young and I didn't have a say in anything cause I really didn't know what was best. But, like, right. now getting to the age of, like, again, like, being 22 and, like, being in college and, like, understanding, like, oh, this is that. And it's, like, a learning process of understanding and, mm-hmm. working at different establishments and, like, people just think, like, you kind of know everything and you almost are at fault for not knowing everything. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget I'm still learning, you know what I mean? Like, I may be in this sport for, like, 10 plus years now, but, like, a lot of it was me just kind of, like, doing what I was told. I'm now, like, in the years of, like, actually choosing for myself.
You weren't kidding when you said we had a lot in common.
No, I wasn't. I know. The first thing I told you was, like, girl, I was like, I think we're, like, kind of like twins, but, like, in different states.
Yeah, because I mean I completely relate. It wasn't really until the past 2 years when I was too far away from my trainer to, like, keep riding. I mean, we kind of started butting heads already, and I was kind of, you know, drifting a little bit and not taking as many lessons and whatnot. But then when I moved out of my parents' house and to where I live now on the farm that I work at, then it was kind of up to me. And my mare had colic surgery and I just wanted something to do with her. And I was like, I'll trick train her, but I'm going to do it right. And so that's how I found positive reinforcement and clicker training. And then I got really into it and then realized that there was, like, a whole methodology and science behind it and then just geeked out on it. And then I was like, oh, wait, but now I'm understanding that horses aren't just jerks for no reason or that they aren't just hot, you know, jerky mares for no reason, that they're actually trying to tell me something. And then that led me to look at hoof care because, you know, we have horses out here that act grumpy because their feet were hurting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are other horses that had ulcers. Like, the percentage of horses that genuinely have ulcers is astronomically high. And so, I mean, like, if a horse is being aggressive, my first thought is, has it been checked or treated for ulcers? How is its management, you know? And mm-hmm. now that I've like had that perspective shift, it's always about giving the horse the benefit of the doubt rather than, you know, they're guilty until proven innocent. And so I look for all of the potential reasons for why they could be acting the way that they're acting, you know, usually in a way that I don't like. And then I'm like, okay, let's see how we can address this and give them the help that they need so that they can get more comfortable and they can be happier, because horses are not naturally aggressive animals or mm-mm. you know, out to get us, which for some reason there are some fun trainers love to assert their ego.
And, you know, it really is, though. I mean, like, my oldest horse, his name's Trouble. I got him when he was 5 years old. He was a little old rodeo pony that, like, you know, did the Bucking Bronx at the shows and things.
Oh, fun.
So, like, I was a green rider. I was handed mm-hmm. a green horse, and I didn't know anything. I just knew that I wanted this horse to jump, and that's what I was going to make him do. So, you know, we went to several trainers, and people were like, this horse doesn't know anything. He's useless. He's, like, not good at the sport, aggressive. I mean, I had one trainer tie his head down, trying to make him, like, you know, bend. And, like, first off, tying a horse's head down should not be a thing. She was, like, an old Western cowgirl, and, like, my horse ended up flipping over. And I remember sitting there just understanding, like, this doesn't feel right. Like, he's my
and
first
that's the
horse.
Thing. Like, that's the thing, too. A lot of people, like, I mean, we can only do the best we can. And when we know better, we can do better. That is one of my favorite Maya Angelou quotes. I'm paraphrasing it, of course. But, I mean, it's, like, you just can't fault yourself. The only time that I think it's appropriate to fault yourself is if you are actively choosing not to know or not to act on what you do know in, like, an ethical or humane way. But, like, I did so many things to my horses that I would rather never speak about or think about ever again. And, you know, it's not something that you're, like, 100% at fault for, you know? I mean, and it's not even something that the trainer's at fault for. I mean, unless they're just choosing not to learn. But when you don't know, you don't know. And you think you're doing something that's right for the horse, because I mean, a lot of the trainers that I grew up with, when they would do really harsh and abusive things, they would say things like, well, you know, it's for his own good, because if he acts up like that, he's going to hurt you or hurt himself. And, you know, then good things are not going to happen from that situation. So we need to teach him so that he's safe for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. But
it,
like,
does. When you're 12, that does make sense. You're like,
Right. But unfortunately, that is not the only path there as it is marketed to be. And you can get there through much kinder methods of actual explanation to the animal. And then you can really develop a partnership more so than just this, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. Just like relationship based on strict obedience. You know, that's just not really my ideal relationship with the horse.
Well, when the horse has respect for you, it's, you know, like, it's going to change the whole environment. Like, they're going to want to listen to you once they figure out they need to respect you, and not forced respect either. Cause I know some people will go out of hand to, like, you know, be dominant over the horse, but it's like, it's an equal status here. Like, this is like your teammate. You aren't trying to dominate something. Just like if you're in a soccer team, you're not trying to dominate the other players. You work together. Like, you feed off each other.
Yeah. A better word, and I wish it was more common in the horse world, is trust more so than respect. Because, well, I mean, if we're going to get technical, horses don't have a frontal lobe, so they physically cannot handle a concept in their brains of respect. And I actually did an entire, like, series on my podcast about debunking dominance theory and join up and, like, having your horse respect you and all of that. And there's a shorter version on YouTube too, but it's still like 40 minutes long. But I think when people say that they need their horse to respect them, a lot of times what they actually mean is that they need their horse to be obedient and not go against them. And that's not respect. But the way that I would use the word would be that my horse trusts me and is not going to act out against me in a harmful way, because they're not afraid of me. And, you know, like, they enjoy what we're doing together. So it's more of a partnership relationship, because of, you know, we both have good associations with one another and we enjoy being around each other and we have a good time. And it doesn't have to be this, like, no, my horse has to obey and respect me and I'm going to spin him in circles now. And that is just the type of things that drive me up the wall.
Well, no, thank you for correcting me on that terminology. That was kind of the word I was looking for, but just couldn't.
No, put a nail I on know it was. Yeah, I know that's what you were trying to say. I wasn't trying to, like, you'd be like, Victory, don't say that.
Like, so sorry, more that
it's just for me, and maybe I'm just particularly sensitive to it, but for me, the word respect is really loaded because of because of the way that some trainers market it. Mm-hmm. But I think. I just wanted to clarify that that is what you meant.
No. Thank you so much for that. No, that's awesome. And I know I completely agree. Exactly. And kind of going back onto the topic, though, of, like, growing up and never understanding, a lot of, you know, people are on social media that are still learning about horses, and we have a tendency to fight at them or like go at them for not knowing. And that's a big, there's just a big cancel culture. And I'm sure you kind of realize that too, a big cancel 100%. Culture that's come with it. And it's like, it just like, we have a lot of younger audience members that do look up to us. And I think this is like a great topic to cover, of just like not being so harsh on one another. Like, this isn't a competition. Like, we're all in this because we love horses and we want to advance and we want to learn together, and you're not going to know everything.
Right. And that's something that I try to keep in mind on, like, in my own content, you know, because I, on my podcast, I answer a lot of training and behavioral questions. And, you know, it can be really easy to be like, oh, my God, like, come on, this is so simple. Or like, why don't just do this? It's you're causing the problem. But the thing is, like, I almost never look at them like that because I've changed the way that I approach issues so much. But it's just like, you just don't know. And if nobody in your life has told you that, you know, like, sweet feed is typically far too high in sugar for a horse's body to handle, and that's what your barn feeds, and your horse is being aggressive and biting you, and your trainer is telling you that your horse is just a grouchy old jerk and you need to punch him in the nose when he tries to bite at you, rather than changing his diet and treating him for ulcers and checking a saddle fit and things like that, that's what you're gonna do. And so it's and beyond that, it's not helpful, because when you start attacking people, the first thing they do is get defensive. And so, and it's not helpful. And it's almost like, you know, if you're super afraid of something, you're not in a state where you can learn. Like, if you're being chased by a monster, you're not going to be able to learn arithmetic. So you have to be in a place where it's like, it feels safe and it's a comfortable conversation. I do it a lot because I'm in a lot of like Facebook groups, and sometimes I just have to keep scrolling and just not because they're interesting. But in some of them, it's like, well, you know, these people are actually want help with their horses. You know, the whole message is like, I love my horse so much, but he's so difficult. I don't know what to do with this insert behavioral issue here. And all of the comments are like, look up Clinton Anderson, or you need to round pin him, or show him who's boss, or beat him into the trailer. And then he'll learn that like being outside is worse. And like stuff like that is, I'm just like, these people don't want to do that. None of us get into the sport wanting to hurt our animals or be aggressive towards them. And then we get in this twisted thing in our heads where we have to now justify physically beating an animal because it's just what you do.
It's not listening to you because they don't understand you. Like, the communication isn't there. There's a blocker that needs to be broken in order for you to understand each other.
Exactly. And it's so frustrating because, like, it starts out as like, oh, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this as a young child, but my trainer's telling me to do it, so it must be right and it's okay. And then you start hearing things like, oh, well, you know, the horse doesn't feel it. It doesn't hurt. He doesn't care. He doesn't mind. He's just like that. He's just grouchy, like all of the things. And you start going along with it. And then eventually, you know, if somebody ever goes against it, you've adopted that so hard because, you know, the truth would hurt to say that, like, okay, maybe I actually am hurting him and I was right originally. And I've, you know, bought into this thing, but I don't have to do that anymore because then you have to acknowledge that you've done it.
Yeah.
And that's what I went through a lot of. You know, I used to get comments on all of my videos like, you know, you should be kinder to your horse. You don't need to carry a whip and blah, blah, blah. Like, and I mean, a lot of the stuff I did, I genuinely think was harmless, but a lot of it that was on video is not great. Like my personal mare, Zoe, she was always a very hot and spicy mare. But in recent years it got way worse. And like just the whole time we would be doing anything, she was just like a ping pong ball. Trying to canter her, she was just like, you know, doing that, I don't know how to describe it, kind of like a the only thing I can think of are, have you seen those, like, they're like little grabber sticks where it has like a a trigger and you can like
pick up for the trash or something. Oh no.
Yeah. But like where you, it's the same thing, but like where you pick up a spider.
Yes, I've seen those ads on Facebook. I always kind of want one.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what her canter was like. It was just this like dink, dink thing. And she would swish her tail. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much like that. And that's probably a much better but her tail would just be ringing the whole time and her back was tight and she just had this like facial expression of distress.
Yeah.
But it was like, I couldn't see it at the time. Looking back in pictures, I have to look with like one eye open because I'm like, oh, that hurts so bad. But it's so obvious to me now knowing, you know, the research behind it. Like we have the horse grimace scale and things like that. And like that was her facial expression every time I rode. And it come to find out that she has kissing spine and she's got some arthritis going on in her hocks and they're starting to fuse. And so like all of this stuff and every single trainer, Olympian, whomever I rode under was like, she's just a hot, spicy mare. You know, you need to try this bit. You need to hold her differently. You need to ride with your reins in one hand. Like so many different things.
She was just in pain.
Exactly. And so, and, you know, I mean, horses, in my opinion, are driven by, or if they're acting out in a way that you don't like, it's usually one of three things. It's either pain, fear, or confusion. And then there's the small caveat of like, I actually don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, I know. The ponies, so, that's what it is.
Right. But I completely forgot how we got here. I fell down a rabbit hole.
Sorry. No, it's okay. I love those. Girl, I told you this podcast is just going to go with it. I love that. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's so important. And but you're covering like really good topics, though, again, that aren't talked about. And I when I came to you, I was like, I want to be breaking stereotypes. Like, I want you to be real. I want this to be authentic. Mm-hmm. And girl, like, you're hitting it right on like the nail. Yes.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable to talk about because a lot of like the things that I say, I know is not necessarily the most popular thing in the world. And like I said, I had plenty of people tell me the exact same thing when I was, you know, actively riding and competing. Mm-hmm. And I should say that, like, I don't have an issue with riding traditionally and competing. I have an issue with a lot of the way that it's implemented, but for the most part, as a whole, I don't like it just is. So, and you know, I don't think people that don't do clicker training or positive reinforcement are bad people or anything like that. That's
no, not at all.
Definitely not an extremist in that regard. But I do think that we could all definitely stand to be kinder to our horses and kinder to ourselves too, because that, I think that's the biggest barrier in this is that, like I was saying earlier, when people start confronting you and they're like, maybe you could actually do it in a kinder way, then you have to look at yourself and say, all right, well now if I accept that as truth, now I have to also admit that I've done something wrong and now I feel guilty about that. And it would just be easier to say you're wrong and this is why.
Continue my ways.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of what I faced in transitioning to positive reinforcement was like, oh, you're just feeding your horse treats. You're not actually training. You know, none of that makes sense. You're just weak-hearted and you need to buck up and show the horse who's boss and all of the things like that. And I'm just like, maybe one day you'll come around because I said the same thing to people. And but it's really hard to have that self-compassion and not just be like, oh my God, I can't believe I used to beat my horse. I'm a terrible person. I don't deserve horses. You know, I mean,
yeah,
to some extent, again, none of us do.
No, I mean, like, they're literally godsends. They mm-hmm. are amazing creatures, and no, none of us do. I mean, like, they could honestly, like, kick the crap out of us and kill us if they really wanted to, but mm-hmm. they don't.
Yeah, I think that there is a really special something that goes on between horses and people, and, you know, it's not something that I spend a lot of time talking about, because once you start talking about, like, bond and relationship and woo-woo, then everybody kind of shuts off. So I try on my content to just stick to science and fact, but of course that's there. And it's just difficult to prove that there's a bond.
My 15-year-old self would be like, yes, there's a bond. Like, they speak with you out even speaking, like, human language. Like, that was me as a kid. I was so into that. I was like, you don't understand me.
My 15-year-old self made a video called How to Bond with Your Horse, and I should probably take that video down.
I think you should keep it up.
I doubt I agree with 90% of the things I said now. I was probably like, you need to run them around in a circle and chase them with a whip, and then once you stop, they'll like you, which totally is a logical thing to say.
So. You know what you should do? I think you should go back and have a reaction video on YouTube of going back and just being like, well, this is wrong and this is what I've learned from that. That would actually be really interesting.
That's something a lot of people have suggested that I do, because a lot of my videos and advice, oh God, I would have an issue with. And it's actually been on my to-do list for a while, but I am just so short on time perpetually because I'm in the master's program. And so it's just like, okay, we have to prioritize time, but I've got three videos I need to edit right now, but that is
you'll get there. Daunting. You'll get there. I know you will get there. Oh my goodness. No, it's just like, though, like, again, like being vulnerable and authentic like that and like, you know, keeping the videos up shows like your growth. Mm-hmm. And like, that's a lot of what people don't share. Like, they kind of want to cancel out like who they were in the past, but it's like, it's good to show people like where you come from and who you are now.
Yeah, maybe just put a disclaimer, like, actually don't do this though.
Yeah, like, this is just all jokes, don't listen to me.
This is actually like a child telling you what to do, so maybe don't listen.
Don't listen. Yes. But honestly though, like, when we were all 15-14, we like listened to each other like we were like the top trainers. Like, we would like find the biggest Instagram account, we're like, they know what they're doing. They know.
Yes, there were quite a few that I looked up to, and I was like, I want to have that many followers. And now my account, sadly, is trying to die.
No.
It's so bad. I don't know what, I hate the way that Instagram has changed. Like, it's become Facebook, essentially. And, you know, because it used to, like, when it first started out, it was so cool. Like, it was all a bunch of goofy, weirdo horse girls, you know, and in the neck of the woods that I was in, you and I were in. Yeah. And it was just so nice because, like, I felt like everybody knew each other and we all had, like, these rules, like shout out for shout out Sunday and
follow for follow, comment for comment, like for like. And you had the competitions that you would do, posting the picture of different accounts, but like, who is out first? Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, I loved those. Delete. I would live for those.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I always did, like, every Sunday, I remember I would, like, create this obnoxious graphic and, like, be like, get me to 7K, you know, everybody who posts on your account saying to follow my account, I'll post, like, a collage of you and all of the other people who did it, telling my followers to follow you, and it worked. And so, like, it would just had this whole thing going, and that was, I don't know, it was just a crazy time, and now it's all, like, you have to look prim and proper and perfect and also compete and have a horse that rears.
Yes. You know, that's something that annoys the shiitakes out of me. I'm trying not to.
I didn't know what the rules were on that. So I've also been trying to censor myself. It's hard.
We have a younger audience that does listen on here. So no, we like to keep it family friendly.
Yes, I figured.
But it's just like, I've seen a lot of, like, especially on TikTok. I mean, there's a few accounts, I won't name them, but there's a few accounts on it.
I actively attempt to avoid horse TikTok, actually, which is kind of not the best thing to say talking to a horse TikToker.
It's fine. I'm different. Yes.
No, your videos don't bother me at all. They're very funny and, like, they're just innocent. Whereas some of the other ones are like, look how much of a hard A trainer I am here. I'm tied my horse to a tree and I'm swinging a flag around and look at it freak out. LOL. It's so dumb. Like, and I see those videos cause they pop up on my Twitter where people are like, what is this? Then, you know, you fall down a rabbit hole and you read the comments and you're like, oh my God, why is everybody praising this? It's literally animal abuse. Like, if you did that to any other animal, it would be a problem. But because it's a horse and we have, like, some pride issue that where we think that, like, scaring a horse and, like, doming it is, like, really cool. Like, you're so dope. Oh, my God. I can't believe you've done that. It's such a weird, weird paradigm to live in, I think.
It Really, no, it really is. It's completely different, and it's just like there's just different ballparks of it, and I don't even know what to say about it, because it's just kind of like it's just there, and like you don't want to acknowledge it, but you know it's there, and you know people don't always agree with it, but yet like they're getting praised. You're just sitting there like, wait, why is this getting praised? Yeah. But like, you know, my video that's actually entertaining doesn't get, you know, the type of content that it's getting, and it's only because they have money or like really nice horses. And I'm just like,
it's really frustrating. I can definitely relate. Like there for a while on my Instagram, I was like really spending a lot of time posting these informational long posts about training and things like that and behavior, and I was losing followers like crazy because nobody wants to hear that. They just want to enjoy pictures of ponies on their accounts. And so I mean, like, I'm weeding out the people that aren't actually interested in learning more about their horses. Recently I've just sort of changed to a more you know, not taking it so seriously. Like I said, I've been posting on Instagram since 2012, which is something that is ridiculous to say because it is 2021.
Girl, that's like, that's like 10 years of you doing that. I want to go see your first post and like want to know like what you posted. Well, that's you can a long shortcut time.
That pretty easily because my Jet Equitheory account is not my first one. My first one is Jill_Heartthrob. Because my horse that I had before Zoe was named Bo, but his jockey club name was Heartthrob with one T. So I was Jill_Heartthrob, and which, looking back, that's not the best username in the world. Makes me sound like I'm a heartthrob. It's a little egotistical, Jill. But yeah, that was my first account, and I hit 7K, and the day I hit 7K, I got locked out and could not get back in. So it was very sad.
What the heck? Oh, no. I would have cried.
I had a panic attack, but thankfully I was friends with some rather large influencers at the time. And so I created Jet Equitheory, which was Jill and Bo at the time. And I got like 2K in one day. And now I think it's at 85K. I was at 89.9K at one point. And then I honestly don't know what's been happening with my account, but I'm at, I think, 85.7 right now. So a little disheartening, makes it kind of hard to keep posting. And, you know, you always want to say, like,
yeah,
it's not about the followers. I don't care about the number. But when it's dropping, like, 100 a week or 200 a week, you're like,
you do care. What have I done? You do care. Like, don't let people trick you if you're listening to this. When they say, oh, it doesn't matter the numbers, I just do it because I love it. No, no, no. We look at the numbers. Like, this is some of us. Like, this is, like, our income. Like, this is a job for us. So, like, yes, we're looking at it. And it does, like, you wonder, like, what are you doing wrong? Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's like, I knew – I definitely took a hit when I switched to positive reinforcement as my, like, primary training method, because it's not, like, me galloping in a field or jumping and doing these turn-and-burn cross-country courses and, you know, all of the stuff. It's boring. But the point is to make the horses boring, because I don't want to have this explosive, fiery mare anymore that's really entertaining to watch, because it's not entertaining for her. It's painful and scary. And after I realized that, I was like, oh, God, now I'm sick to my stomach and I've got the anxiety sweats. Yeah, I it's just, it's frustrating because I'm like, I'm doing the right thing for my horse and my account is suffering because of it. But, you know, we have some client horses that I'm like, I'm riding them and they're for sale. So, you know, I'll get some like, quote unquote, normal content to post. But I was saying that I've like started taking it less serious. So I started posting in 2012 and I always edited the heck out of my pictures. And it started getting more refined there at the end, but I would spend like 20 and up to upwards of 40 minutes editing a picture, but it was almost never less than 20 minutes. And you know, when your account is like,
it's an art.
And when your account is dying and you know, your posts aren't getting comments or likes anymore, you're like, why am I spending so much time doing this again? Because it's not for me. It's for everybody else. Yeah. And it seems to be that the trend now is more towards having like authentic posts more than like an aesthetic theme. Like, themes used to be so big back in the day. Yeah.
So important. Like if you're patient to have a theme,
Right.
people
And
follow.
like that used to be one of my biggest pieces of advice. But like, yeah. And
I
if you look at like
remember.
Shelby Dennis, she is SD Equus on Instagram. Like her account has always been very authentic, raw posts, just kind of in the moment, video stills, what have you. And and she's able to post a lot that way. And Adele's like that too. I think Adele takes a bit more like with an actual like photography camera, whereas yeah,
I wish.
I just can't be bothered to set up the tripod every day. That's not some
Neither can I. I'm usually out there by myself. No
Yes.
one's recording, no one's taking pictures, so I'm
Yeah,
limited to like
same.
the
And
footage.
so it's to me it's like I want to embrace that authenticity since it seems to be doing so well, and it makes it so much easier to post because you're like, oh, here's just this cute quirky picture of my horse, and here's my comment or my caption, which inevitably my captions are always ridiculously long, and I can't help it.
I read
Thank
them,
you,
if that
dude.
helps. I always think they're
Oh
very nice and
my God, that's so
flattering and
nice.
like
I try to make
funny.
them funny. I'm like, maybe people will read them if they're funny, but I don't know. But anyway, that was another rabbit trail. That was
Dude, I love it. No,
I could.
yes. I'm
Yeah,
so
I
okay
could
with
talk for
it.
forever. That is why I have my very own podcast. Then I just like just talking to a mic.
This is actually Jill's podcast. If y'all didn't know, this is not the
Yes,
Equestrian Vibes podcast.
I have Phalanx. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well, just kind of like again on the topic of social media and stuff, it's like mental health through all this. I know we kind of wanted to speak briefly on this topic because it's like such a big thing, especially since like the whole
Oh,
pandemic and
for
everything,
sure.
and everyone just is disconnected. And I'm, geez, like, again, like with the accounts and losing followers and stuff, like, I just like came back from like, I want to say like a week break of not posting on TikTok because I was getting to the point where I would post something, it would only reach like 1,000 likes and I would take it off.
Yeah.
When I'm so used to having my like videos reach like 30,000, 50,000, I was like, what the heck? I don't want to do this right now. And I just came to the point where I was like only posting content that I thought would get
Yeah.
likes rather than something I thought was
Yeah,
funny.
that's exactly what happened to me in YouTube. And I'm here to tell you it will kill your drive to do it. Because, like, my YouTube, I used to get, like, I would average like 20 or 30,000 views per video. And some of them would do like 50,000 or 100,000. And for TikTok, that's not too many. For YouTube, that's a decent amount, especially for a horse account. And I think my
Yeah.
one video that has like the most is, I think it's like 400,000 or something, is me running over Boyd Martin. So, that was a good
You ran over a
Boyd.
boy? Oh, got
Yeah,
it.
it resurfaces at least once a year, and then everyone's like, "Oh my God, hey Jill, have you seen this?" I'm like, "Yes, I was present actually when that happened."
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I definitely agree because, like I said, the switch to positive reinforcement was just not popular, and it was a really hard thing to do, not to just be like, okay, actually, I'm gonna ignore that and just post what's popular so that I don't lose my following or that I don't lose views. But I mean, I went from averaging like 20 to 30,000 views a video to averaging about 2 to 5,000 views a video, and
That drop is concerning. I could see like why you felt the way
yeah,
you
because I mean,
did.
like. And I mean, I don't know if you care about this, but I don't mind. But like, I was making probably anywhere from 600 to $1,000 a month on YouTube. And then it dropped to like maybe 150 a month. So then
That's a big
it.
drop too, though. Like that's an, again, that's an income and people don't
Right.
realize
And I mean,
that.
it's not like
Oh
everybody
my
needs to
God.
watch my videos because now I'm poor. But like,
No,
it becomes
great.
really hard to keep doing it when you have to make money elsewhere, because like, you know, I'm not 15 anymore. I'm 22 and working toward being financially independent, and it is still mildly embarrassing that I am not at present. But you know, it's like I have to focus my attention where I'm gonna be able to survive and you know, move off my parents' meal ticket, because I don't want to be on it anymore. And so it's like I can't spend so much time on YouTube when it's not making me any money. And the only thing people ever want to watch is a barn vlog. And I barn vlogs. are so boring.
I know what I do all day long, and I don't like it's just not that interesting. And you need to be able to like
I just think it's so funny. You bring that up every time, and I still laugh because you're like, everyone's farm vlog. And you're like, I don't want to do a farm
know. But
vlog,
they like they force my hand every time. I'm like, what YouTube videos do you guys want to see? They're like, barf, barf, barf. I'm like, could you guys be more creative? I recognize that I'm not being creative because I'm not also coming up with ideas for videos, but think
but can y'all at least do something to
yes,
help?
because or at least watch them when I do post them. That would be great. Thanks. Like, so anyway, quite I'm not bitter. Not at all.
I'll make sure to like comment that next time. Be like, YouTube video idea, I got
Yes.
you, Jill. Barn blog.
Thank you.
I'll
I
be there.
appreciate it. I'm
Full
just gonna
force.
break my phone when that happens. But
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of ideas and I have them all written down. It's just I never feel inspired to make them. I don't know why. I think it's the editing.
I totally get that. No, I totally get that. Like, I mean, the process of me like having to go out to the barn and like record a video, I'm just like, I want to go out to the barn and
It
ride. Like, I
doubles your
don't always want to
time.
record a video.
Every
It
time you film,
does.
it's like, okay, well, now it's gonna take me twice as long to tack up because I have to move my camera around. I have to make sure, okay, the horse sidestepped. Now I've got to move the camera again. I've got to readjust the angle. Now I have to turn it off because I don't want to edit out 20 minutes of footage that won't export to my computer.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, the expertise took forever.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I tried doing a barn vlog one day, didn't get past the time lapse of tacking up. I still have it. Like, it's just sitting in my phone. I'm like, I'm not doing
Yeah,
anything with this.
I have videos from I want to say it was either early January or December that I still have not edited, and it is March, so and
But time goes by
I
so
know it does, and
fast.
one of those is a brand deal, and they keep emailing me. They're very angry at me, but you know what, that's what you get for signing up with somebody who's in a master's program and is quite busy, but
I understand that. That's like a totally different. Like when I deal with brand deals, it's hard. I'm like such a slow replier when it happens. Like I want to get right back to them, but like and then a thousand things come up. Then I'm like, oh, it's been a week. I might need to get back to
Yeah,
that.
it's not great marketing, but you know what? I can't afford a secretary, so it is just going to be what it is.
Yeah, everyone's like, you need to get like a manager, like an assistant or
You know, you
something. And
have
I'm
to
like,
pay them,
is
right?
assistant for what? I was like, girl, I was like, they're gonna be taking the brand deal money at that
Right,
point. I
like
was like, no.
that doesn't work. Yeah, I'm excited because we're actually about to move to a new farm, and there's some local girls that are like that really want to come ride there and like hang out with me all day and learn from me, and I'm like, good, you'll be tacking up all the horses for me so that I don't have to and I can just go ride. And also you can be my filmographer. That would be great. Thank you. Please do that.
You're not only like barn hand, but you're also Jill's videographer
Yes.
and IT manager. So
Right,
welcome aboard.
exactly. And those are my goals because it is so annoying living out here. Because I mean, like, I have two coworkers, but they don't know how to operate cameras. And so it's either tripod and risk my phone getting trampled by other horses or
Oh
like
no.
it is just a struggle, you know? But
I get it. I get it. Like I try to get my friends out there, but then I also feel
right.
like a burden. I'm like, hey, can you come like video me on
And
my
they're like,
horse? They're like,
oh,
oh, what do you want me to
this
do
is
then
why you
after?
brought me here.
Yeah, pretty much. Or like I'll beg my boyfriend, be like, please, this can be our date night. Just come video me. That's all I
Right?
want.
Yes. And I need to get myself one of those so that I can start that.
I'm telling you what, they're great. They're supportive, but they're gonna want to learn how to ride. And I'm just like, I need you to record me first,
Yeah.
though, and then maybe we can ride
I
with the
don't think
thumbs
I've ever
up.
actually had one be like, can you teach me how to ride? They always say that as like an opening line, but then it never happens. But
To impress you. Oh, I get that. Yeah, like the guys, like when they find out like you're into horses, they'll act like they're what is it? It's like always like their aunt or their
Yes,
cousin that
or
owns horses,
grandparents.
and they've been to their barn like
Yes.
once. And they're like, oh yeah, I have my family. She rides. She always does like that jumping. Do you do
Oh
that
no,
jumping?
mine
You're
is
like,
always.
yeah.
Oh, so you race or oh, so you do barrels? Like
Love that. Yes, the
nope,
racing
do
one.
not. I'm 5 foot 8. I am not a jockey, so
Girl, me too, though.
yeah, I don't know. That is the other thing. Like with the social media and doing the horse thing. Because, like, I don't know if you get this because you're like actually in a relationship, but when you're like dating and you're like doing online dating per se, who would do that? That's for losers. Definitely not me.
Don't do
It's de
that.
it's de it's def
Definitely not. I did that. I went through your face. Don't
No, it's
worry.
definitely not me who's still on dating apps because I live in an isolated area, and that's totally why not, because I never go out and I'm a loser, but it's fine. Anyway, but the thing is, like, you know, when you're talking to somebody online, you don't really know them, and then you like look them up, and
Yeah.
then when they look you up, you know what's gonna pop up.
You're just like with
Yes,
horses. That's
all
it.
the time. Look at my YouTube channel of when I was 13 and like talking in this accent and saying, "This is how to make your horse not dead." Like, that's not something that I need them to know immediately.
You know, though, that's why I was so grateful that I was dating like the guy when the Sally videos and everything started to come about. I was like, I tell him all the time. I was like, babe, I was like, if you knew me before, like if you just met me and then saw my face on your For You page on TikTok and was like, is this the girl I'm talking to? You would be the other direction, like automatically, other direction.
No, that is definitely, and you did so, like, you had such a good idea with that, because like I had my one how to first horse video where I used that accent, and I'm actually not entirely sure if it's offensive or not. I don't know what accent it is, to be honest with you.
It's like French.
Is it
I don't know. It sounds a little French to me. It sounds like the cook off of Ariel. Do you know when he tries to kill the lobster, the crab, Sebastian?
Yes, I do know what you're talking about. It's like a very vague, distant memory. But yeah, I don't know why I grew up like, you know, because the villains in TV shows are always like Russian or something, which is, I mean,
Yes.
hi America, we see you doing that. But
Yeah.
it like I just picked up those accents, and then so I did it on in that YouTube video. I think it was mostly because of Jenna Marbles and her like Sermit video.
I love her. Oh my
I
gosh,
know.
her Kermit videos.
Yeah, and everybody was like, make more videos like that, and I just never did. And you actually like took it as a character and ran with it. And I don't know, I think that's a really, really wise move as far as content creation and keeping people.
Thank you. Again, if I was single, probably wouldn't have ran with it.
Right.
But now that I know I'm in a steady job and education and relationship, I'm like, you know what? What can go
I
wrong?
don't know what man would not want to date Sally. That doesn't make sense.
Chad doesn't want to date Sally. I
Oh.
mean, I
Yep.
know. She's been having problems getting the Chad. So, and I always get the question, is Sally real? And I always ask him, are you real? And it's like, yes. Well, then you answered the question.
There you go. I mean, it's
There you go.
we all have a little Sally inside of us.
That's kind of what I was going for. I know Sally is just her own being, her own character, and she will live free all day long at the barn if she wants to. She just always ends up where I go.
Yeah, well, I think
Well,
that's a beautiful message.
I think it's very freeing. I think we all have a little Sally in us, though. I look at the videos and I'm like, I don't even know who Sally is when I portray her. I look at the videos and I'm like, that doesn't even look like me. That doesn't even sound like me. I feel like I'm looking at like a third party in. Like,
Yeah.
it's weird. It's a moment for sure.
Yeah, just a little different you over there. I mean, you fool me when I see them come across my following page. I'm like, oh, there's Victory, and then there's Sally. It works. It's
I'm on your For You page. I'm honored. Oh.
but anyway.
I know. Another rabbit hole. How many has that been?
I don't know, quite a few. And I could talk all day long. I have so many things to say always, and that's why my podcast episodes are literally never shorter than an hour.
I feel that. I realized though, started doing podcasts with other people, it's so much easier to keep it going than it
Oh
is just by
yeah.
myself.
But
Like it goes on for like a long time.
I don't exactly struggle to talk to no one for 2 hours, but it definitely you're like at hour three with another person, you're like, okay, we're probably both nearing brain death, so let's reel it in. But
What were you gonna? Oh, it's always looking up on the social media apps, seeing you on dating apps, and guys would find you. Mm-hmm. Has that ever happened? Like, did they question, like, oh, you have 85,000 followers? Like, what do I, what?
Oh, you're for kind of sure.
A celebrity?
Yeah, no, that definitely happens. And, that I usually get made fun of for it. And
how dare they?
I know.
Like, they don't understand they're talking to a legend here since 2012 on Instagram. Like, right? Who do they think they are?
Like, I also ran over Boyd Martin, so I'm kind of famous.
Yeah. But, 400,000.
Right? And yeah, so I mean, I try to keep it on the DL for a little bit, but also, like, if you look up my personal Instagram, it will link you to my Jet Equipary account, because it is marketing simply. And I can't help it, but you know, it's better to just to get it out there at the get-go. Like, if you don't want to deal with it, don't deal with it. You know, I am who I am. I cannot hide the horse thing, because it is 90% of my life. The other 10% is like school.
Oh, dude, I feel that, though. And I think it's funny when they'll try to impress you and be like, well, I know how to ride too, and you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, come ride with me then. And then they get out there and not falling off. But besides the fact, like breaking an elbow or something, that may or may not have happened. We'll leave his name out of it.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that I actually do have a video on my YouTube up of my ex riding a pony. But it got so many views, I'm not gonna take it down. It's getting me money.
Exactly. Like, oh yes, I mean, at least you got something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I changed the description. I was like, we're no longer together. But I mean, it's got like, I think like over 150,000 views, and I'm like, you're gonna stay right there, and let's just hope the future potential partners do not see that. Anyway,
we're back to back though.
Yes.
Well, I know, it's like, where the heck did
I know pick up? I got really disoriented. I don't know what to say now. Trying to like grapple for a topic.
No, you're so good though. So we were kind of on the topic of the like social media though, and like people finding you, and kind of how it's like kind of weird. Like, I totally get that though. It's kind of strange when people see my face, and you know, it's not the most attractive either. Like,
yeah,
putting it out there, like, Sally is not, you know, the cat's meow. She's just kind of there.
I think Sally is wonderful.
Thank you. She will appreciate that.
Please don't tell her.
I want to know you said that. You know, she might just say your name the next video. I don't know. She might just say, Jill said something. Like,
I don't need her on my Instagram commenting things. She'll hurt my feelings. I can feel it.
I know. Her and Brooke really get at it, though. Mm-hmm. It's really, like, the barn cattiness. I'll tell you what. That was, like, such a thing growing up with me, though. It's, yep. Like, there was, like, it was, like, the saddle club. I'm telling you, like, I feel like there had to be, like, a barn near you that was, like, the saddle club.
Oh, for sure. I grew up having my riding friends, and my OG followers know who they are, and I will not name names, but I did have one of them who, I sold her a pair of Woof boots. You know what those are? Like, the brush boots?
Yes.
Yeah, I sold her a pair of those, and I said, hey, dude, check them before you buy them to make sure that they're, like, good, because I think I asked her, like, $50 for them, and I was like, be sure, because there was four pair. I mean, $50 for four pair of Woof boots is pretty good.
That's a steal.
I know, and I mean, like, they were used, and I was like, just make sure that they're, like, how you want them. I don't know if they're, like, any tears or if they're dirty or anything, just check them. And she's like, okay. And then she was like, yeah, I will. And I remember that day, we were kind of late for our lesson, and we were getting ready. It was a summer morning, and so it was light inside the barn, and I was like, did you check the boots? And she was like, yeah, they're fine. And she put them on herself, and then after we got done with the lesson, there was a tear on them, and she was like, oh, they're ripped. And I was like, well, did you check them before? And she was like, well, no. And I was like, well, they're yours now, so keep them. I don't want them back since you broke them, so, like, and you already paid me. And she was like, well, no, they weren't broken. And I was like, I told you to check them twice, dude. I'm not giving you your money back.
No,
you took them and then you broke them. No. And
no refunds at that point.
Yeah. And then that fight went on for far too long, and she told me to like she sent me like, you know, like word text just over and over again, like, where are you? Tell me where you are. Meet me. I'll meet you in this parking lot and I'll fight you. And I was like, I'm not going to fight you.
That sounds so sketchy.
I was like, dude, no, we're not doing that. You're...
Over boots. Like, I know. Over boots.
And $50. Like, come on. She had
dude,
a job.
You might as well have a jump off at that point.
I know, but that would have been more ideal. I am not a fighter. I will argue, but I am not going to fight somebody. Never have, never will. And the fact that she prompted that was quite comical to me because I was like, you honestly think me you fight? No. I'm not fighting you over a pair of boots. That's stupid.
Oh, no. your next YouTube video would be.
Yes, me with a black eye.
What really happened? The truth or whatever?
You should see the other guy.
No.
Yeah, no. Growing up with all of the teenage girls and hormones and this, I feel like everybody just has to endure it.
Combining the horses and the teenage girls together is just, you're really asking for it, honestly, mm-hmm. at that point.
And now we've moved online.
Oh, exactly. Great. If we were just a whole community of us online now. Mm-hmm. Oh, the horse girl stereotype, though, is kind of true. Not going to lie. I don't know who hisses, but...
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, I guess, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. You were. I don't think you were, like, active on TikTok at that point, were you?
No, but...
Okay.
Now I know.
Now you... There was, like, a trend when, like, you know, normal people were going around making fun of horse girls. Mm-hmm. I think it's the horse girls, though, that they were talking about, like, who think they're horses, and they run on all fours, and, like... role play as a horse, which I did that as a kid, but yeah. I don't remember hissing at anyone.
No, I didn't. I knew a girl that one time in our elementary school was on a, I did have a distinct memory of her like rolling around on a concrete picnic table, meowing and hissing at passersby, but I think that was more of a cat person thing. And I have two cats, so I'm not opposed, but that was a lot. And I used to ride stick horses, like the little hobby horses.
Yes, and jump over things.
Yes,
I would do that.
I once jumped up to my forehead on a stick horse, so that is to this day my biggest flex.
Dude, that's kind of impressive. I think mine was like jumping 4'3" on foot.
Yeah, that is also good. I mean I don't know how high it was. I mean, but like relative to my height at the time, like forehead eyebrow height is high.
Yeah, on a stick horse though, like that's mm-hmm. impressive.
Yeah, and then I called my parents out because I was like wildly impressed that I had done it, and they came out to take a picture, and I couldn't do it again. So, one hit wonder.
Well, you know, if the picture was there, Jill, did you really do it?
Nope. Did apparently, pics where it didn't happen, then it did not.
Yeah, no. Dang it. I think, oh, geez, the horrid memory. I was, like, 14, and I was, like, we just oiled our, like, wooden hardwood floors. So, you know, like, when they're oily, they're slippery. Mm-hmm. And I would set up jumps to jump in the house, and I think I set up, like, one, like, on top of a stool, and I went to land, and my ankle... fell. Ooh. And like we landed on the ankle sideways.
Oh no.
My parents didn't believe me that I like sprained it. They're like, oh, you're just being dramatic. I could like hobbled up the steps, woke up the next morning with like a golf size swollen ankle, all bruised, and I was like, does this make you believe me now? Like, is this enough evidence to show you like I'm in pain?
Oh my god, that's awful.
It was terrible, but like whenever I had injuries, I didn't want to stop riding. So, like, I shoved my boot, like, into a tall, like, my swollen ankle into a tall boot. Barely could zip it up, but went and rode anyway. Like,
yeah, I've done that a few times. There was one instance where I rode this horse named Hunky. And I was riding in bareback, and I was FaceTiming someone at the time. Yeah. Good decisions. And I was just riding in bareback around our field, and we had cows in the next field over. And I was saying to my friend that I was FaceTiming, I was like, you know, it is so nice to be on a horse that is not afraid of cows, because my mare Zoe is afraid of cows. Well, not anymore. She lives next door to them, so she had to adapt. But I was like, you know, it's so nice to just ride a horse that's not afraid of cows. And then it was like at that moment he was like, cows, you say? Oh no. And so he just took off, and I was on the buckle. So I like grabbed the reins, and I had my, like, it knocked me off balance because I wasn't hanging on. And so I had like my knee over his back and I was trying to pull myself back up. And then I realized I couldn't, but I was also like had waited till he was at top speed. And so then by the time I let go, when I fell, I like, I don't know how it happened because it was my right leg that was over his back and I fell off left and somehow landed on my right leg. So I don't know what kind of sorcery I did, but I landed like on the outside of my right foot. And so I rolled my ankle and
Oh
I, like,
no.
if I had gone any further, I would have snapped my knee off. I felt it. And, but thankfully I just crumpled. So I didn't, but that was the first time I've ever like fallen and rolled because of the momentum. And, I like got up and I was like, okay, let's test out the body parts. Yep, that ankle's gonna suck really bad in about 15 minutes. And then I hear like jail, like over in the grass. Like my friend that was on FaceTime, I was like, oh my God. So and I'm like digging for my phone in the grass. And she's like, what just happened? I was like, I just ate it, but it's fine. And I've got about 10 minutes to go catch this horse and put him up and drive home before my foot is non-functioning. So that was a good
Oh my
time. But
gosh.
all that to say, I just rode with one shoe on.
Are you kidding me? You
Yeah,
actually did that?
I had an ankle brace on, and the college that I was at the time, like a lot of it was outside. So I was just walking around with one shoe on and then an ankle brace on the other foot, just walking, and then just rode like that with one shoe on. I don't think I think I just did stirrupless, but yep, horse people definitely live up to the stereotype of not caring about themselves and just caring about the horses.
Honestly, like we're like the last ones to like get checked out. Like if I fell off, I always made sure the horse was okay. Or like, did you get that on video? I think that was my second most common line. It's like, did you get that, Mom?
Unfortunately, I don't think I've ever had a fall on video. Knock on wood. Not really interested in getting one. Because now I'm 22 and my body thinks it's 45 and we don't bounce. We burn out. So.
Dude, I remember thinking 3 foot was so small, and I look at it, I'm like, that's low key kind of scary, but I'll do it anyway.
Yeah. Same, dude. And like, I took my boss's horse to a show, and like when I was prepping for it, I was setting the jumps up myself, and I put up this vertical and I was like, yeah, that's good. And I stepped back and I looked at it and I was like, oh no. No, putting that down 3 holes, thank you very much. I'm now a chicken, big fat chicken, and I have to work. And I'm like, I was running training and schooling prelim, what happened to me? Well, I guess it's modified now, they changed it. I'm so old.
Did they really? I didn't even
I
know.
think so. There's a level in between prelim and training now. I think it's called modified.
Oh, okay. Well, I like a level in between. I could
I
probably.
always felt like the jump from training to prelim was too much, but
Yeah, it was a big gap.
so well, now it's just gone,
We needed that.
I think.
Well, because you train a lot of young courses, so obviously you're doing kind of like a little bit smaller jumps, and I totally get that. That's where I've been to, like training the green horses. I'm like 2 foot, 2'3" right now, and then like my older horse is now advancing up to like the 3 foot, 3'3"s again, and I'm like, what am I doing? This is terrifying. I'm going up to the jump, and my trainer just raised it, and it's like a double, and I'm like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, I feel you. And that's why I like the baby horses, 'cause baby horses are scary in their own right. 'Cause
Oh no, yeah, for
but
sure.
but I mean, I'll pick a baby horse over 3 foot at this point. I mean, like we went to Ocala recently actually, and we're
You were so close to
I
me.
know. I didn't know you then. I also was not in charge of the car, so we were only there for a day, like in whole. Like we flew down one day, spent one night, and then came back. And the like the my boss was trying horses for herself, but her trainer would get on them first, and then they'd kind of put me on either second or last, and they'd have me do the bigger jumps. And I was like, I think we've all forgotten that I haven't competed in a very long time, and just because I'm young does not mean I am brave. But when they're like, go jump the 3 foot oxer, I'm like, yeah, no biggie, it's fine, it's nothing to me.
Great.
Like And I'm like shaking the whole way up to it.
Especially when you're like trying other people's horses too. Like you already are trying to like, you know, yeah, portray that you're a good rider and worthy of riding this horse. But then setting off, they're like, go do it. And you're like, got it. Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, nope, I've got it. I'm missing literally every single distance on purpose though, because my boss is an amateur. So it's intentional. It's not that I can't ride, I promise.
But oh, that is wonderful though, honestly. Well, I know you have to go clip a horse.
Yes,
which is very exciting. Springtime is coming, so that's good news.
Yes, a little halflinger pony. She needs to be liberated from all that hair.
Oh, they get really fuzzy too.
I know, and it's gonna suck so bad.
Oh. Well, this is when the mask, you can wear the mask and like not get yes, hair in your nose.
I have definitely started doing that because, oh my God, clipping without a mask. Like I, even after the pandemic, I'm probably not going to not clip without a mask.
Oh no, honestly, like I wish I did that before. Like, I didn't know anything about that or even thought about it, which was dumb of me. Like, why wouldn't I wear something to protect what I breathe?
Yeah, because literally if you don't, you're just breathing horse hair in both orifices, and then you're like, oh my God, my nose itches, and then you try to scratch your nose, and then you've realized that you've just stuffed more horsehair in your face.
It's everywhere. It lives on you.
Yes.
Oh, it's clipping horrors. I feel that. But I do want the people to know, I know you kind of mentioned like you have an Instagram here or there, but like go ahead and name off all your socials so everyone can find you.
Yeah, so I have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, which all can be found under Jet Equitheory, which is I like combining lots of words. So it's Jet are my initials, Jillian Elaine Trace, that's me. And then Equi, EQUI Theory. And you can also follow my podcast, which has its own Instagram and, you know, obviously podcasting platforms and things of that nature, which is Equitheory, EQUITHEORY. And I also have a website where you can learn more about what I do, who I am, and my horses, and also get more information on either positive reinforcement, clicker training, equine behavior. I have like a topics section as well. So if there's a specific topic that you want to learn more about, I try to update it pretty frequently with, you know, new links and research articles relevant to that topic. But it is just me. So it is slow going with the updates, but it is happening. And I have like an extensive list of resources for especially positive reinforcement training, like books, videos, podcasts, YouTube links, blog posts, other websites, online communities, all that good stuff. I put it all in one place because I am a little bit neurotic and I like for things to be organized, and I couldn't find anywhere online where that was already done. So I did it.
And, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And you're also on TikTok, right?
Yeah, sort of.
Kind of.
You're trying so hard to convince me to do it.
I am so trying. Yes, hop on the trend. You guys can follow her in there also. She's pretty cool. She doesn't post often, but she's still amazing. So she deserves to follow.
Thank you. Yes, we've got some cute pony videos up there right now. My first ever video did really well, so I'm very proud of it. Just Astro whinnying back at me as a foal. It's cute.
It was so cute. I remember you came up on my For You page one day, and I was like, she's on here. I was like, how did I not even know?
Because she's not. She's just partially.
I realized that soon after.
Stop giving me more things to do, Victory. I don't want it.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to help you.
It's okay. I appreciate it. And now I don't know if anybody's actually going to follow me after everything I just said about social media, but you know what? We're still cooking.
She's still awesome though. Go give her a follow. She totally deserves it. And thank you so much, Jill, for coming on.
Yeah.
This has been an amazing hour. I don't even know, cut off in the middle, but it still counts.
Yes. And thank you so much for having me on and like reaching out. It has been an enjoyable conversation. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, yep, you guys go check her out, and I'll go ahead and do the outro.
Okie doke. See you later.
Bye. Well, that is the ending of this episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it, and I definitely recommend you guys go follow Jill on all her socials. She is awesome, and she posts great content. Thank you guys again for listening, and if you want to follow me on TikTok, you can find me at Equestrian Vibes, and if you want to find me on Instagram, it's equestrian.vibes with a Z. So yeah, go ahead and let me know what you think about the podcast, and until next time, guys, happy trails!